go to a fruit tree and you look up and you're looking for fruit and you see maybe one or two pieces of fruit and you think, wow, that's kind of a waste of a tree, all that space up there and hardly anything to pick. And then sometimes you go to the fruit tree and it's just covered. And you just think, I'm just going to get the best ones because there's so much fruit up there I can't possibly use it all. That's exactly what this chapter is like in Matthew chapter 10. There's so much here that I can't even begin to pick it all. Just a item after item after item, things that are so valuable. And so we're going to begin here in Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading in verse 28. And we're just going to kind of step through this just a little bit. All right. If you got your Bible, let me see your Bible. Hold your Bible up. Amen. When you come to church, bring a Bible. Amen. And why do we use the Bible? It's the Word of God. And it is the only Word of God. There is no substitute for it. You cannot use anything else. You say, well, there are some people and they've written some things. That's great. But God wrote this. Amen. And He wrote it for you. When I was younger, I remember when I was in high school, we had a person called a counselor. And I remember our high school counselor, she was a woman and she had an office right next to the library. And I always wondered what she was there for. I never got much time never had to spend much time with her. But apparently the rumor was that if you go to the high school counselor, she might give you some ideas about how you could do better in school, maybe what you ought to do after you graduate, maybe how to get to a different college or what college you ought to go to, what you ought to study. Maybe she could help you if you were having trouble with your grades. She could find somebody to tutor you or whatever. And when you think of a counselor, you think of someone that can tell you how to have a better situation or a better life. Amen? Amen. Now, think with me. If you asked your friends or some lost people that don't know Jesus, if you ask them, how could I have a good life? What do I need to do to have the best life I could have? Probably one of the first things they would tell you is, you need to get a good education so you can make a lot of money. Because doesn't everyone feel like if you have a lot of money, you can have a good life? Amen? I mean, that's the way they think. Someone might say, well, if you're going to have a good life, what you need to do is you need to really enjoy yourself. And so, you know, here's some different things you can do. If you read the internet, it's got all these things about places you can travel or food you can eat or experiences that you can have. Now, listen to me. What I'm about to say is very important. When you ask men, just the average person, the average lost person, how to have a good life, they're going to guide you in the ways of men. But what if you ask God, Lord, how could I have a good life? Think He'd tell you? Amen. I think He has right here in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, and there's so much here. It's just pick fruit, pick fruit, pick fruit. There's so many things here. I just have to choose a couple of them today. We'll probably come back and try and finish this next week. But in Matthew chapter 10, if you're all there, we're going to begin in verse 28. And let me just show you what I mean. There are some choices that you have to make. And these are life choices. These are not just, you know, what do I want to have for lunch or you know, what kind of shirt do I want to wear today. But these are choices in your life as to how you're going to live your life to have a good life. And let me ask you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 28. I'm just going to read down a few verses and we'll have a word of prayer. But please follow along with me if you could silently as I read out loud. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Jesus talking to the disciples, He says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning we need your help like never before. We desire to see the Word of God in a way that each of us can understand, younger and older, and to see it in a way that would shed some light on what we need to do to have a better life. Lord, we just sang songs about living for Jesus, and we heard a special about you having your way in our life. But Lord, so many times, either because of ignorance or because of selfishness, we choose to do things that will not improve our life in your eyes, but will make it worse. Lord, so many times we get off track and we think that the things that the world has to offer would make us have a good life. But when the truth is told, when we step into eternity, the good life is not going to be what pleases men, but what pleases God. Amen. I ask you to please help us to understand that today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was at the hospital yesterday visiting a family that had Jeremy Bronow's mom fell Friday night and broke her hip, and she was in surgery yesterday afternoon, and we were sitting in the cafeteria while she was in surgery, and one of Jeremy's family members told me, she said, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church because I told her I was a Baptist pastor, and she said, and she had a kind of a... Well, for lack of a better description, she was just not expressing happiness about it. She said it was not very uplifting. Now, if you don't know what that means, what she's trying to say is that she didn't like what she heard. She went on to explain, in fact, she used the phrase fire and brimstone a couple of times. She said there was a lot of fire and brimstone, and it wasn't uplifting to me. In other words, when she listened to it, when she heard it through her ears, it didn't make her feel any better. It made her feel worse. Now, I never really got to explain it fully. I had a lot of people at the table, tried to say some things to help a little bit. Maybe we'll get to talk to her again today after church. But I cannot find anything more uplifting than the Bible. Because listen to me. If it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us would die and go to hell. How can you find anything more uplifting than Jesus dying so you could be saved and raising from the dead the third day? That's as uplifting as it gets, in my opinion. Now, I don't know whatever she heard, where she missed that message. She didn't hear the best part. There is fire and there is brimstone, and he mentions it right here. And don't misunderstand. Jesus talked about hell more than heaven. He says that there is one that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There is a place called hell. Amen. The Bible uses a word to describe it, which is the word perdition. It means destruction. There's a place called hell, and if you have not received Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go there. And you're going to be there for all eternity. And there's nothing uplifting about that. But what's uplifting is we have a Savior. Amen. Now, I know most of you pretty well. I know some of you real well. I think, to the best of my knowledge, the great majority of us here today would say, I have trusted Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. Amen? Amen? That I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. But Christ died for me. And I have placed my faith in him, my faith as to how I am going to spend eternity in heaven with God is not because I'm good or not because I'm baptized or not because I go to the right church or not because of anything except the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you all agree with me on that? Well, anybody here planning on going to hell, please let me talk you out of it. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible place. You cannot begin to understand how terrible hell is. We had a good message on hell about a year ago preached here by a missionary. Hell is indescribably terrible. It's uplifting to me that Christ died to save me from that. That he died to save you from that. That's a good message. Now, this won't lift you up quite so much. Between now and the time that you and I enter into eternity, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some temptation. There's going to be some decisions to make. And the Lord Jesus is talking about that all through this passage. It goes all the way down to verse 42. There's no way I can do it all in one day. We'll look at it again some more next week. But he gives you and I guidance. Now listen to me. You say, who's he giving guidance to? If you're here and you're saved, this is for you. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to get saved, and then this is for you. And it's good stuff. It's practical. It says, those of us that have lived a little bit longer, we got some young people here today. Some things are hard for young people to understand because they haven't been there yet. Some things are easy for them to understand. The first one, I think, is very easy. Let me show you what Jesus says. And actually, there are 7 different choices here that he's going to name. And then on top of that, I got 5 dangers and 6 practices. Way too much for one message. We won't do all that today. But look at verse 28. He says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, now follow along with me, read those words in your Bible. He says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then he goes on, he says in verse 29, are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? That's just a few cents, not much money at all. What would you pay if somebody said, I want to sell you a sparrow? Somebody came to you with a sparrow and they said, I want a dollar for it. Nah, keep your sparrow. It's not worth a dollar to me. In fact, I don't know what I would do with a sparrow. Put it in a cage and feed it or something. I don't know. But they're not worth very much, are they? He says, aren't 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Folks, God pays attention to the sparrows. That's astounding. There's a lot of them. They're not very valuable, but even something that little, God pays attention to. Don't you think a God that can keep track of all the sparrows can keep track of you and I? Amen. Don't you think a God that is so compassionate that he cares for a little brown bird, that he cares for you and I? That's what he's trying to show us here in verse 28. He says, if one of them die, your Father knows about it. He says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, we always joke about that. Some people have a bigger number than others. Amen? Amen. I won't talk about that this morning because I don't want to offend Brother Leo, okay? Or Brother Hall back there. But you're going to have a full head of hair in heaven, brother. But we got some people here who's got a pretty good head of hair. Andrew's got a pretty good head of hair going over there, I think. Amen? Hope he keeps it. And Brother Antonio Jr. over here, he's got a pretty good head of hair going. And then, of course, a lot of the ladies do. Let me tell you something. I don't know, and I don't want to find out, and I don't know how I would find out how much hair is on anybody's head, but God knows every single person here. God instantly knows how much hair is on your head without even having to worry about it. God knows something indescribably irrelevant. God knows the details. Don't you think a God that knows that kind of detail knows about you and I and what we need and when we hurt and when we're afraid? He says here in verse 29, he says, or verse 30, he says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Verse 31, fear ye not, therefore. And he's tying this back together with verse 28. You're more valuable than many sparrows. Fear not them that kill the body. Why would we be afraid of men? We're afraid of what they think of us, aren't we? Next time you're in a restaurant, it's time to eat. Do you pray for your food? Do you pray out loud? I made a practice some time ago. I like to stand up if there's a big group and pray for the food for the whole group. I know good and well there's going to be somebody in that restaurant that does not approve, but God approves. You know, we've been doing some evangelism. Some of these young men have been going door to door, and Brother Mendez has been taking them to the parks and showing them how to witness to people. But I guarantee you there's not a person here that hasn't been afraid. If I say something about Jesus to somebody, what are they going to think? Maybe it's going to offend them. Folks, the first choice we're going to make if we're going to have a good life is, who are we going to be afraid of? You're going to fear God or fear men? Amen? Now you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Let me say it differently. Do you care more about what God thinks, or do you care more about what men think? Let's dig in a little bit deeper. When you get dressed in the morning, girls, do you dress to please other people, or do you dress to please God? Amen? When you're talking to your friends and they start, and I hope you don't have friends that tell you bad jokes, but they start to say something that's ungodly, do you stop them or do you listen? Well, you say, Pastor, if I said something to them, that might offend them. If you don't, it might offend God. When you decide how to spend your time on Sunday, that's one of the greatest things about church. I don't know a whole lot, but I know this. Right now, God wants us right here. Amen? And honestly, the one time of the week, there's several, but at least the one time of the week God wants me here is right now. And if someone, honestly, I'm telling you the truth, if somebody called me this week and said, Pastor Schaefer, if you will come here or go there next Sunday, we'll give you $1,000. I'd say, no, I'm going to be in church. Amen. Say, Pastor, couldn't you use $1,000? Yeah, I could use $1,000. But God's got lots of thousands of dollars. Amen? I need to be in church. Amen? When you make decisions, do you make the decision to please those people around you, or do you make them to please God? We have to make that decision, don't we? When I decide, whatever it has to do with other people, if I'm going to go on visitation, I'm going to knock on somebody's door. I have learned in Phoenix, when you knock on doors, not everybody likes it. Maybe we shouldn't knock on doors anymore. No, we need to tell people about the Lord. Amen. Do you know the reason a lot of the folks are here today is because somebody knocked on their door? What are you going to fear? That's the first choice you got to make. Are we going to trust Him with our life, or are we going to fear for our life? Now, let's look at another one here, and we might get time for this one and then stop. Let's look at verse 32. He says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. I'm not going to read the next verse yet. Let's just focus on verse 32. Everybody sees verse 32, right? If you haven't got a Bible, look at your neighbor's Bible. Whosoever, oh, we like that word, whosoever. You know what that means? Anybody. That means Brother Leo. It means Brother Mendez. It means Andrew. It means anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men. This is Jesus talking. Him will I also confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, this is just as simple as it sounds. When you tell somebody about Jesus, Jesus talks to God about you. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Did anybody here, any of these young people talk to somebody about Jesus this week? And you say, well, Pastor, I'm afraid. We talked about that already. But when you're willing to tell somebody about Jesus, and I'm 62 years old, and still sometimes I think, oh boy, what's going to happen when I tell this guy about Jesus? There was this truck driver the other day, and this truck driver, I was talking to him, and he asked me a question, and it was kind of a loaded question, and he was a big guy. I don't see anybody here that big. He was a Don Montgomery kind of big. Tim will know who that is. A boxer kind of big. And he asked me this question, and I said, I don't know about that, but I know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And that's a whole lot more important than what you just asked me about. Now, I kind of had a sense that he might not hurt me. I didn't know how he was going to react to that. And if I recall correctly, it's been a few weeks since this happened, he didn't just say, oh, thank you so much for telling me that, but he didn't get mad and walk away either. Now, whoever it is here, I don't know which one of you did it this week, but if you told somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, somehow, and I don't understand the mechanics of this, I don't understand exactly how it works, but somehow, when you did that, it's as if Jesus says to the Father, did you see that person talking about me? Did you see what they did? I like that. Amen? Now let's finish the passage. He says, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's a powerful verse, not the most comfortable verse. If somebody says, for example, to you, what do you think about Jesus? I like it when people ask me that question, don't you? If somebody please ask me, what do you think about Jesus? Or what do you think about Christianity? Or what do you think about the cross? Or what do you think about the Bible? Or what do you think about God? I love to answer those kind of questions. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, what if they don't like your answer? That's okay. God will like the answer. But what if somebody was to ask you, are you a Christian? And you were to say, no. I can't even imagine that. But what if you were to say to somebody, no. And you just didn't want to get into it, or you didn't want them to be mad at you, or what if they said, and I've had this before, what if somebody said, you're not one of those Christians, are you? I knocked on a door one time in Dallas, and it was me and an older fellow. Now, this was a long time ago before I was the older fellow. Now, I'm always the older fellow, but anyway, it was me and a fellow that was in his 70s, I think, and we knocked on this door, and the fellow came to the door, and he said, you're not one of those born-again Christians, are you? And I said, you know, the Bible says in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. I kind of like being born again. Amen. He did not like that answer. But that's the truth, amen? I like being born again. I like knowing Jesus. And folks, you may have to work at this. Young people, you may have to work at it. You may lose some friends over it. Some of the people that are living in your neighborhood may laugh at you because of it. Some of us older people at work, some people may shun us because of it. But we just need to tell ourselves, I'm going to be loyal to Christ and not loyal to men. And yes, I believe in Jesus. He died to pay for my sins. Amen. Amen. And just let the cat out of the bag, as they say. Just tell them the truth. And listen to me, didn't you just see God cares for you? Can he take care of you? I've been laughed at. I never have been physically attacked. I've been kicked off of people's porches a few times. I don't know why it is, but when someone kicks me off their porch, it kind of makes me feel good because I think to myself, you know, the Bible says, great is your reward in heaven. And then now that we're down to the, I was knocking doors in Montana, in a country town, and it was an old rickety house. You kind of didn't want to be on the porch anyway. And knock on the door, and when the fellow found out who I was, he said, get off of my porch. And I couldn't help but say something else. And as I was stepping backwards, I said, I just want you to know something. Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. Get off my porch, he said. Okay, I'm leaving, but don't you forget what I said. Amen? Now, listen to me. You say, well, you know, you offended that man. No, let me tell you what's going to happen. You listen to this. And probably by now, since that was a long time ago and he was pretty old, that man has probably died. And unless something changed, he's in hell. And let me tell you what he thinks about most every minute he's in hell. He's thinking, a guy came to my door and wanted to tell me about Jesus, and I kicked him off of my porch. And he's probably thinking, I wish he would have stayed longer. I wish he'd have said something more. I wished I'd have listened to him. Because see, and I'm going to finish up here, here's the deal. you are making decisions right now that you think are going to give you a good life. Oh, if I dress a certain way, guys will like me. Oh, if I say a certain thing, girls will like me. Oh, if I do this, people will like me on Facebook, or they will like me on Instagram, or, and I want to be liked. We all like to be liked. Don't be liked by offending Jesus in order to do it.
That's right. That's good preaching.
Because listen to me, folks, that fellow that kicked me off his porch, who's probably in hell right now, he died, and one day we're going to step into eternity also. Just like he stepped into eternity. Maybe he passed away in his sleep quietly. Maybe he was in a car wreck. Maybe he had a heart attack. I don't know. But when he stepped into eternity, he went one of two places. Amen? And he's going to be there for all eternity. You're going to go. Yeah, you've all told me you think you're saved. We're going to go to a place called heaven. Heaven is where God is, by the way. I realize there's a whole lot more to it than that. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. We're going to live with the Lord forever and ever. But when you get to heaven, and just picture this, you stand and you meet with Jesus. And you meet with Jesus, and the question is, how good was your life? I don't think you're going to pause and tell him about all your vacations you went on, or about the houses that you owned, or about the great, wonderful, fancy cars that you drove. Or you're not going to tell him how much money you had in the bank. That is not what he looks at for a good life. Ask yourself, don't answer out loud, but ask yourself, do you know what Jesus looks at and calls a good life? Do you know? In eternity, when you forever and ever and ever you're with him, do you know what he thinks of as a good life? It's right here in Matthew chapter 10. And the first thing I've already talked about, and that is choosing to fear him instead of men. Living for him instead of men. Dressing and talking and acting and going for him instead of men. Not being afraid of men and situations, but fearing God and trusting God. Let me just warm you up for the next one, and then we'll go ahead and stop for the day. Let's look at one more verse, if we could, in Matthew chapter 10. A couple more verses, actually. He says in verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." We'll look at this more next week, but let me ask you something. Don't you like it when you're at peace with people? I don't like it when somebody's mad at me, especially a family member. And he goes on to talk about that. So in order to maintain peace with men, sometimes we don't say things, or sometimes we say the wrong things. Don't let me lose you here. Way back in, 1980-something, 88 probably. In 1988, and I'll just be generic here, some people were over at my house, and it was Thanksgiving, and somebody wanted to read The Night Before Christmas. If you don't know that Night Before Christmas poem, it's about Santa Claus. It's a cute little rhyme. I want you to know something. There's a God, and he's a whole lot bigger than Santa Claus. And I want you to know something. When you get anything, it comes from God, not from Santa Claus. And I want you to know something else. Santa Claus is an invention that the devil has used to substitute for Christ at Christmas. It's real simple stuff. Christmas is about the birth of Christ. Amen? Someone says, oh, it's about Santa Claus. I don't know about Santa Claus. Never have seen him. Physically impossible for him to do what he says he can do. But God can do those kind of things. Amen? So I just told the person, I said, you know, I really don't want to read that. I knew good and well it wasn't going to be popular. They were pretty excited to read this poem to my kids. No, I'm not going to do that. That's not how you find peace. with men. That's how you find peace with God. Let me ask this question and I'm done. Listen very carefully. What are you, let me say it differently. Are you willing to do things that are wrong in order to keep the peace with people around you? You hear what I'm saying? Like these young people, somebody might say, hey, let's go steal something, or let's go break into something, or let's go do something that's wrong. You should read Proverbs 1. Brother Mendez has probably been through that already. I just remind you of something. Thieves don't really make good business partners. You know what you do? You say, no, that's wrong. Can we all say that? No, that's wrong.
No, that's wrong.
Amen? Now, are they going to like that? No. Is God going to like it? Yeah. It's real simple. You're going to have to decide, am I going to be at peace with men or at peace with God? I want to be at peace with God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I'm not going to necessarily live with those men for all eternity unless they're saved. I'm going to live with God for all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one I ought to be aiming to please. Just got to finish with this thought. We'll finish this last half of this next week. But think about people in the Bible. We talked about this in Sunday school. People in the Bible that had the most compliments, that had the most praise in the Bible, people that the Bible lifts up as heroes, and ask yourself, what kind of life did they have? Peter, Paul, Daniel, Joseph, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. Wow, Jeremiah is an interesting one. What kind of life did they have? Would the people on this earth today that are lost, that are wealthy, look at Jeremiah and say, oh, I want to live a life like Jeremiah lived? They wouldn't, would they? But do you know Jeremiah is one of the greatest people that ever lived in the Bible? How about John the Baptist? Jesus said there never had been greater than John the Baptist. Do you know how John died? Anybody know how John died? He cut his head off. Why? Because he told one of the kings, he said, it's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. She's his wife. You can't have her. He cut his head off. I say, well, Pastor, he was not at peace with the king. No, but he was at peace with God. What are our decisions going to be this week? Are we going to be afraid of men? Or are we going to be afraid of God? What are our decisions going to be this week? Are we going to tell people about, are we going to confess Jesus? What that word confess means, to tell people about him. Are you going to tell people about Jesus? Or are you going to say, well, if I say something, it might hurt their feelings. I better be quiet. What are we going to do this week? Are we going to make a point of trying to be at peace with them by being quiet? Or are we going to tell them about the Lord and be at peace with God? How are you going to have the best life? When you stand before Jesus one day, and it won't be this way, but picture a little checklist. I want to get them all right. As many as I can anyway, amen? And the checklist doesn't include, were you wealthy? Were you popular? Did you have lots of boyfriends or girlfriends? Did you this? Did you that? No, it's going to be, the question is going to be this. Did you live your life for Jesus? Did you live your life for Jesus? We just sang the song, Living for Jesus. You know the good news? It's not too late to start. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I think anybody here that's in their 40s, 50s, and 60s would probably agree, I'd like to know what I know now and go back and be a teenager again. I would avoid a lot of the mistakes that I made. But here's the good news for you teenagers. It's not too late for you to avoid those mistakes. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. The devil's going to try and tempt you. The devil's going to tell you, girls, if you'll dress in something that's not modest, these guys will like you. That's a lie on top of lies. If they like you for that, they like you for the wrong reason. He's going to tell you guys, if you'll say bad words or if you'll smoke cigarettes, if you'll do this, you'll do that and look tough, the other guys will admire you and the girls will like you. That's not, it doesn't matter if the whole world likes you. What's wrong with having Jesus like you? Amen?
Amen?
Living for him. And just as much as this is good for the younger group, it's good for us too, isn't it?
Amen.
Just go out this week and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to give you opportunities. You got a mouth that works. You got a mind that's connected to it, hopefully. Tell people about the Lord, amen? Say, they're not going to like what they hear. No, but when you tell them about the Lord, Jesus is going to say to the Father, did you see what that person just did? That Christian just told somebody about me. Got to be something good going with that, amen?